First John chapter 5. Your goodness and mercy. You know, we as God's children, as a product of His good and mercy, are recipients of that mercy, recipients of that goodness, and that's what we use and when we're in fellowship with somebody else. You know, there's a lot of negative Christianity. You've noticed that, right? Where you don't do like you should do, and I'm going to tell you that you didn't do like you should do. And and generally that doesn't help people. Doesn't help them at all. Verse 4, whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. You like that word overcome? You can come over, come past, come through. But it means you won. You won. Whosoever is born of God is because you're a Christian, because God is Savior and Lord, that you can overcome. Whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. We're going to overcome the world. Do you see that word? World. It's a great big world, and we're going to overcome. We've been in Moscow several times to teach at a Bible school there. And it's amazing the different way that different sections of the world live. Now, only 33% at that point had cars, and so they just thumb a ride everywhere they go. Mm-hmm. And you stand out on the curb, you put your thumb out, and somebody with a car who needs the money is going to stop and take you where you want to go. And we were going 100 miles down the road, and the fellow said, be glad to do it and be glad to wait on us or come back in the afternoon and pick us up. But we were going to ride the bus home. They'd arranged for us to ride the bus home. You see on the streets, you see the people who haven't overcome, the people who are needy, people who are obviously business women, and your heart goes out to them because the key to them is the overcoming gospel. That's the key. Mm-hmm. Overcome. Now they have gun guards in all businesses. That's gas stations, grocery stores. When you go to the grocery store, you put your purse in the locket, your locker. You don't carry it around. Mm-hmm. They watch you. Everywhere you go, they watch us, especially because we obviously were not Russian. And they're doing that to keep peace when Jesus is our peace, but they don't know that. See, we have a responsibility as children of faith, as one who is overcome. We overcome by our faith, and when we overcome, we give the overcoming message to people who need to hear it. That could be your neighbor, people who need to hear. Overcome. There was one of the runners in the Olympics that got COVID before he ever came to his race. And he raced with COVID. He was the one projected to be from first place. And even as sick as he was, he came in third place. They talked to him, and he was just determined. See, and we have to have in our heart that same determination to walk in the Word. Amen. I'm not giving up. I'm not quitting. I'm going to hold fast. Now that verse is in Hebrews 4:14 says, hold fast the confession of your faith. The confession of your faith is key to your victory. It's the key to overcoming, but it says, hold fast. Now Wayne can hold fast. He was raised on a farm. He's a farmer's son, and he can really hold fast. And you're not going to get away from him if he's holding fast. Ask Suzanne and myself. And that's the way we do with the Word, thank you. With the Word of the living God, we're going to hold fast. We're going to find out what God said. And we know if we hold fast, we're going to overcome. So we're going to hold fast to what God has said, and we're not going to sit down and quit. A lot of things make us quit, pain, suffering. Sometimes your doctor makes you want to quit. You notice that? Maybe it's a loud neighbor. One lady had neighbors that parked in her yard. And when she got tired of that, she's a very clever lady, she planted trees all in the space where they normally parked in her yard. I thought that was clever and quite nice of her not to be ugly. We can't be ugly. We have to hold fast by faith. We have to hold fast to the love of God and to our faith in the promises of God. And we can't veer from that. Now look at Hebrews 4:14. That's the route to victory. Faith is the route to victory, and faith has to hold fast. Verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest. See, there's some things we're supposed to see. So seeing then, this, since we see this, since we know this, seeing then that we have a great high priest that's passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. And in the Greek language, profession is confession. He's hold fast. I mean, you find out what God is saying. You keep saying what God is saying, and you don't say anything else but what God is saying. You hold fast. My brother doesn't live in the state of Florida, and they haven't had any TV or internet connections. And we do tend to hold fast to those things. I don't know if you've noticed that, that when you can't find your phone, you've kind of, where'd I leave my phone? Well, last night their TV came on. You should have heard such a ruckus. I mean, it was just, there was a particular purpose for the ruckus, which my brother wasn't into. And so he went and got earphones, plugged in his ears and fixed the TV so she could see it and hear it. That's the first time it's been on since the weather dilemma. Whoa. And he didn't want to hear it. He wasn't holding fast there. See, we have to find out what God is saying and say what God is saying and don't give up, don't quit, don't relinquish, don't... You know, anybody can quit. You knew that, right? Anybody can fall under pressure and quit. We've all been there and done that at least once. Hold fast your confession of faith. Now, this chapter is about Israel in Hebrews 4. Are you there? Verse 1, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into rest, any of us should seem to come short. Short of the promise. See, we're talking hold fast to the promise. Find out what God has promised you. You put that in your mouth and in your heart and you hold fast and you keep saying that and keep saying that and keep saying that and keep saying that. You don't let anything discourage you, anything talk you out of it. By Jesus' stripes, I was healed. He sent his word and healed me. I know it doesn't look like it, doesn't feel like it, but it doesn't make any difference because we walk by faith and not by sight. So we're not interested in what the flesh, the report of the flesh notifies me that I need to amp up the report of the Spirit. That is what it's for. And he said, they came short. Well, I want us to examine this at length and look back at Numbers 13. And I want to show you how to quit. Is that all right? And then I'm going to tell you, don't do that. Numbers. This is the most interesting thing when you go into the details. Chapter 13, verse 2. Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto you. The Lord announced this. See, the Lord spake to Moses. That's verse 1. Search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel, of every tribe, of every of your fathers. Send ye men, everyone a ruler among them. He said, I want you to search the land, and what I want you to see is I give to you. I give to you. I give to you. Now, if I said, come by the house, I got something I want to give you, you would come with expectation. Now, this is what's interesting. This is the people of Israel finally coming to the edge of the promised land under the ministry of Joshua. But look back at Genesis. I want to show you how many times God had said this to them. Not just one, not just two, not just three. He'd said it over and over again. I'm giving you the land. I'm giving you the land. I'm giving you the land. You think they'd caught on by now, huh? I'd be saying, are you going to come by and get the present I've got for you? Or do you want me to bring it to you? See, if I said I had it and I was going to give it to you, my word is good. God said that. All the way back to Abraham in chapter 15. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant. A covenant is a binding agreement with Abraham. Unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river of Euphrates. And then notice all these tribes of people. Kenites, Kenizzites, Kadmonites. He told them up front, there's somebody else living there. It wasn't an empty land. There's somebody else living there. That's what he told them. Now look at chapter 15, is it? He said, I'm giving this to you. Let me go back to Numbers and see my references here. Look at verse 18 through 21. That's the one we just read. Now he's going to say that same thing to Isaac. And he's going to say it to Jacob. And he's going to say it to Joseph And most of the time, he says, and oh, yes, the Cadmonites lived there. They knew exactly what was coming. They knew the boundaries of the land and the occupants of the land. Nothing should have surprised them. The God of the universe said, I'm giving you the land, and the Cadmonites are living there, and the Perizzites and the, you know, parasites, you know about them. Living in the land. I can't find my other reference. So we'll just turn over to the final chapter of Genesis, and I'll show you that... It's a great verse. Great verses. Great verses. Blessed be the God of Abraham, most high, possessor of heaven and earth. Blessed be the most high God who hath delivered thine enemies. Where were the enemies? They were in the land that belonged to Israel. He said, I'm giving you this. Oh, yeah, the enemy lives there. I don't know how many times we need. It's about six times in Genesis. And when you go to the end of Genesis, it's in... the report at Joseph's death. You remember Joseph was in Egypt on the throne, and he said, when you leave here, see his confidence in God's promise. Four generations had passed. There was Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph and his brothers, and four generations have passed, and God still said, I gave you that land, told him exactly where it was, exactly who occupied it, and when Joseph died, before he died, he said, you be sure you take my bones back to the land. That's in the final chapter. Yeah. Is that amazing? His confidence. See, if I have a little pain or a little dilemma, or they want to do some extra medical thingies, which I just love that when they've asked me to do that. And sometimes, you know me, I said, I can't do that. I have to pray about it first. And the doctor went, he said, we need to do this. I said, well, after I pray about it, I'll let you know if I'm going to do it. And that's the way I function. You function how you function. That's the way I function. I feel very strongly. I don't do anything. God is the great physician, and he's my physician. And when I go at his directive, and I go doing what he has said would be good and right for me. Now, let's look at Exodus. And this is Moses chapter 3. And it's in verse 8. I came down to deliver you out of the hand of the Egyptians, bring you out of the land unto a good land and a large, to land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. Same thing he'd been saying. Same thing he said to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Same thing he said to Joseph. He said, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. And that's very good, because they're an agricultural society. It's flowing with milk means it has good pasture for their crops. And with honey, that means the bees cross-pollinate the plants. You know, they couldn't go to Lowe's and buy fertilizer. They're dependent upon the bees. And so God led them, this is choice land for you. Oh, yes, the Perizzites live there. The Hittites, the Hivites. Now, being forewarned, what do you think? Being forewarned. Now, look at chapter 6, verse 8. I will bring you into the land. I will bring you into the land. I will bring you into the land. This doesn't depend on your effort. It depends on the mercy of God. It depends on the promise of God. It depends upon your faith in the promise of God and your holding fast to the promise of God. You know, this is what God said to me. This is what's happening in my life. And if it doesn't look like it, we walk by faith and not by sight. It doesn't matter what the physical senses tell you. All that matters is what God said, and you're holding fast to the promise. Now, what you see here and what you're going to see when we go back to Hebrews is they didn't hold fast to the promise. They heard it over and over. Abraham heard it. Isaac heard it. Jacob heard it. Moses heard it several times. But when things got tough, things got rough, they quit. They turned loose. Now look at chapter 23. This is God again speaking to Moses. Are you glad God never gives up? Yes. He doesn't say, I'm not telling you that another single time. You remember this or forget it. Well, we're inclined. I said, Suzanne Cumbie, I told you this five times already. That was usually about the piano thing. I said, that is a quarter note, I told you. The first time I said, it's a quarter note. And the second time I said, it's a quarter note. And about the fifth time I said, Suzanne, remember this. That is a quarter note. You remember that? No. Oh, hallelujah. She doesn't remember. God is merciful. He said, I told you. He'll do just like he said, I told Abraham, I told you, Becky, I told you, Wayne, I told Suzanne to remind you. She's our bulletin board. And he'll say it over and over and over again. Cause his goodness and mercy. Cause his goodness and mercy. Now, we come to chapter 23, and this is God's repetition about the fourth time in the life of Moses. And he said, verse 23, the angel shall go before thee, and then he names the tribes that they're going to see. But he says, I'll cut them off. Okay, you'll see them. They're there. I told you they're there. They've been there for decades. They do work the land, but it's your land. I'm giving it to you. I'm taking it from them. I'm giving it to you, and I'm going to cut them off. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods. He told them to stay away from their gods and not marry their women or their sons. And then in verse 25, which we usually quote, you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless your bread and water, take away sickness away from the midst of thee. Nothing shall cast the young nor be barren in the land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. I will send fear before the people and will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come. I will send fear. I will destroy. I will send fear. I will destroy. This doesn't depend upon them. It depends upon their believing what God had said. They're holding fast to their confession. That's what it depends on. He says, and he names them again. Now, how many times we could read it if you go back through Genesis to the scriptures I already forgot. It's in there, and all the tribes are mentioned over and over and over again. And here's what we're inclined to do. We'd say, I'm not telling you that again. Did you ever hear that in your life? Our mercy is a little bit shorter than God's. It's actually a lot shorter. Okay. He tell them, I'll send fear. In other words, they're going to run in terror. So they'll turn their backs. In other words, they're going to see Israel coming. And he's already placed such a fear of Israel in the tribes that are there. They're going to run from you. And said the hornets are going to chase some of them. Now, I don't know if that was literal hornets. Wayne was chased by bumblebees. We have fertile ground for bees. And the man that would come spray is retired. Oh, this is sad. But Wayne was on the tractor. He's tractoring the front part of the property. We have property. And he's tractoring the front part of the property. And he tractored over a bumblebee bed, which is they're bedded in the ground. And he tractored up the ground, the home. And they came after him. And he left the tractor running. You have to know we're surrounded by dams and canals. He left the tractor running, oh, some 8 or 10 feet from the canal, which goes. The tractor didn't fall in. But Wayne is sitting on the porch. And he's covered. He's in poor condition. What we found out is Wayne is not allergic to bees. That's what we found out. And after a while he said, and the tractor's still over there. It's holding fast. That tractor is not going to quit. It's not going to give up. There's nobody there. Somebody's got to turn it off or drive it back to the house. See, it doesn't matter what happens in your life, what kind of bee buzzes past you. You're not turning loose. You're going to hold fast. God has said, by Jesus' stripes you were healed. I sent my word to heal you. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. We're not going to give that up. We're not going to relinquish that. We're not going to turn loose of that. You know, any sinner can turn loose. Okay. I'll send the hornets. That's verse 28. And he names the tribe again, the Hivite and the Hittite. I will not drive them out before you in 1 year. Now, God's going to give some important instructions. Sometimes he does that to us. He gives some important instructions so that we can hold fast. He says, this is going to take over a year to clean those tribes out of the land. This is not going to be instant. And he tells them why. Because if he cleared all the land, and it was, you understand, a vast property, cleared it all out, closed down all the cities, and then the cities are going to overgrow, and the beasts of the field, it says, are going to take over long before Israel can take possession of the city in the far corner. They're going to start here at Jericho, and then they're going to move to Ai. And they're going to go city to city. And because it's going to take them some time to conquer and go from city to city, God said, I'll clear it out, but not all at once. Don't you like instructions? I do. Because if he hadn't told them that, they're likely to say, How come the Ais are still here? The Perizzites, the Hittites, what are they still doing here? And God told him, this is going to take time. Sometimes that's what he says to our heart when we're sick. This is going to take a little bit of time. But God isn't going to quit unless you do. Now, they're going to send spies into the land. Are you following me? This is so helpful to me, I thought it'd be helpful to you. It's in Numbers. Numbers 13. They come to the edge of the promised land, and he said, the Lord said, send men to the land of Canaan, which I give you. Now, how many times had he said that over and over and over again? Which I give you, which I give you, which I give you, which I give you. So they send in spies, and the spies come back, and they do. You can't half-heartedly agree with the report of the Lord. They said, yeah, it's a good land, all right, but we don't have any buts here in the healing covenant. We can't but what God has promised. He said, by Jesus' stripes, you were healed. I sent my word to heal you. No weapon formed against you prospers. God has made an utter end. This affliction shall not arise a second time. I bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is in me. Bless his holy name. He forgives all my sins. He heals all my diseases. He redeems me from destruction. There are no buts, ands, or ifs. And that's what they did. See, already they're beginning to turn loose and not hold fast. The reason it's important to people who have trauma, especially sickness, is because when things don't go well, we tend to turn loose. Y'all act like you don't ever turn loose. Is anybody? Okay. So they come back and they say, but nevertheless, that's verse 20, the people be strong in the land and the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, the children of Anak are there. And here's these tribes again. The Amalekites, Jebusites, Hittites, Amorites. How many times has God said that? It's like they didn't know that. Like they weren't. You have to listen when God speaks. You have to listen. You have to repeat it. But that's what your confession is. I'm saying what God said. He said, I was healed, so I am. And your family will help you. They'll say, you look awful today. You feeling worse? Don't listen to that. I'll send you a pair of my brother's earplugs when he didn't want to watch the TV program. He just plugged right up. Don't listen to them. Now, they said, but these are big people. Anaks were giants, a giant race of people. And he said, the cities are walled. God told them there were cities there. God told them it would take time. God told them it wouldn't happen in the first year. And they said, I just make a point of that because that's next time you will do that again. Everybody does it more than once. When the doctor will say, we'd like to rerun your ultrasound. And your heart's going to go, what did he see? What did he see? What does he think? Why is he doing that? Why is he doing that? Now, we're disadvantaged here is we don't have video. If we had video, I would show you what's on, where it's on. Tell you, I don't know anything about the computer. There's this very large, muscular man. His wife is carrying a child, and long before the child was delivered, the ultrasound showed a cyst on her brain, which was inoperative. And if she lives, she will not walk, she will never do well, she will not be able to function in life. And I loved, and he started screaming. He's screaming at the cameras, which I love that. And he said, I took the ultrasound, and I opened my Bible, and this is what he said, I opened my Bible to Isaiah 53, and I took that ultrasound, and I put it right there in Isaiah 53, and I said, whose report are you going to believe? I love that. He hollered at me. I don't mind if you holler Christianity, just don't holler anything else. And when that baby was born, that cyst had disappeared, and she was 100% whole. But he took the ultrasound and he laid it on the promise of God. And he said to himself and to his wife, whose report are we going to believe? Whose report are we going to believe? Whose report are we going to believe? That's what he said. And of course, the baby was well. He has several other shouting sessions on different subjects. I love those. So just shout at me. Go ahead. I don't care. Okay. They said, look at all these tribes that are there. Now, Caleb is going to stick with the word of God. He's going to hold fast. Caleb and Joshua, of the 12 spies, only two that held fast. This is what God said. This is what God said he would do. This is what's happening. And they wouldn't listen. Now we read Hebrews. We'll read it again. It said they came short of the promise. Why did they come short of the promise?
Unbelief.
They didn't hold fast to it. It's like they're telling God, have you seen the giants and the walled cities that are there? God already told them they were there. Now, and they said, verse 3, we're not able to go up against the people, for they're stronger. We're not able to do this. They said, we can't do this. We're not strong enough. It doesn't depend upon your strength. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. It depends upon God and His strength that backs His promise. It just depends upon God. We watched another clip years and years ago where this baby had died in one of the countries of Africa where there's inadequate medical attention at that time. And the lady brought the baby, and it was dead. And the man was in a prayer meeting. They had a circle of prayer warriors. And he walked around just holding the baby. It's dead. It's obviously dead. You could see that. And he walked round and round and round and round and round. And finally, he said, give me that water. And he poured water in the baby's face, and the baby went. He handed her back to mother. He said, there. Hold fast. That's my only point today. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't relinquish. Even if God hadn't said anything at all to you, but you know you're in the will of God, it doesn't matter that you have to have, oh God, I need 3 pages in a poem. No, just say, well, God said, but God said, but God said. Nobody talks me out of that. I know God said, by His stripes I was healed. That's what He said. First thing these people did, they came up to the Jebusites, which God had said were there, which He had already said, I'll run those out. And they said, we can't do this. And Caleb and Joshua, it called their report, verse 32, an evil report, the report of the people of the doubters. See, if somebody said to you, that's the worst report I've ever heard you give. They're telling you, you know, I can see that you're not holding fast. I see that you're not believing. I see that you've quit. I see that you give up. That's the worst report. Well, what Wayne and I did, we came from the denominational church. We didn't know words made any difference at all. It didn't where we were. It may have, but we didn't know it. And we would correct one another, and I'd say something, he'd say, would you like to repeat that and say that differently? And I'd say, yes, I would like to say that differently. And then I'd have to say, now how am I supposed to say that? We went to one high school reunion. Hated it. But okay, we went. And this fellow was talking to me, who I just happened to remember his name. That was an amazing thing. I remembered his name. And he said something. I don't remember now what he said, but he said, that's not the way my wife told me to say that. I have to say that a specific way. And I said, is your wife taking you to a Pentecostal church? He said, yes, and they make you say things certain ways. Well, maybe they started at the wrong end of the scripture. I don't know. I said, well, can I tell you, I would love for you to keep going to church with your wife. He said, right. He's enthused. You have to hold fast to the promise of God. You have to say what God is saying. You can't do your own thing. You can't give all the dirty details to everybody you know. That's just what we tend to do. I'd say, did I tell you about my accident? And you'd say, yes. And then you know what? I said, well, you know, that was an awful day. I'm going to tell you the whole thing again. That's what we do. And we repeat the bad news. And somebody has to come along and say, now, what's your confession? We're hesitant with the good news because we're sight-oriented. We can see the bad news. So we don't hold fast to the promise of God. And that's what they didn't. They just turned loose. They said, we can't do it. You see those giants? You see those cities? The same giants and cities God had told them were there. Now, if you look down at verse 33, said, we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, some of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. You see that? We were in our own sight. So we were. And said, we looked like grasshoppers to them. And then they said, we look like grasshoppers to us, too. We look like, you know, something you could step on and squish. They said, we'll never do it. We'll never win. And they threw aside the report of the Lord. Whose report are you going to believe? Now, you come to chapter 14. This is what happens when you miss the right report. All the congregation lift up their voice and cried. I'm not a crier per se, but I cried once about 10, 15 years ago. I mean, you know, if you let it all hang out, you got to tuck it all back in. You notice that? I thought, well, it's not worth that. So I'm not much of a crier. But when you get upset like that, you've turned loose of the family, so you're not holding fast. Is that soaking in? Now, they cried. It says they cried all night. The people wept that night. And what good did that do in the morning? Where were they? Same place of doubt they were when the sun went down. Now, here's the word of Joshua and Caleb. And it's in this chapter 14, verse. The Lord delight in us. He'll bring us into the land. Do you know that's what God had said all along? He said, I'm going to give you that. I'm going to give you that. And they're just repeating what God said. They're just holding fast. And God said, I'm going to give you that. I'm going to give you that. I'm going to give you that. And they said, do y'all remember God said he would give us the land? But they're dependent on their own strength and ability. I'm not dependent on my strength because I'm not a healer. I couldn't heal myself. I'm not like the man who had his appendix exploded. He was on some kind of exploration trip. He was by himself, so he just took his knife and did his own surgery. I don't have that in me. Do you have that in you? Oh, he lived to tell it, too. That was just amazing. I'm dependent upon the Lord, and I know that. I've got to hold fast. That's the only way I'm going to get better. That's the only way diabetes and heart disease and arthritis. One lady just got healed of arthritis using a medical remedy. I was so proud of her. You pray and decide what God wants you to do. You're not obligated to be a copycat. You're obligated to copy God and to know he has spoken. He has dictated this for me. Now, he said, the Lord will bring us in the land. He'll give us the land which flows with milk and honey. Then he warns me. He says, don't rebel, verse 9. Don't rebel against the Lord. It doesn't take much before somebody can. He said, the Lord is with us. Don't fear them. For somebody can talk you into backing up. For somebody can convince you. You know, you look terrible. Are you not feeling well? When's your next doctor's appointment? It won't take you long for you. You've turned loose. You didn't ever do that, right? You are so quiet today. And here's what the people's reaction was, verse 10. They said, let's stone them with stones. Let's kill the people with the good news. Let's kill the people who are following God. Let's get rid of them. We're going to stick with our bad report. That was just too bad. Now, here's what I want you to see. It's in verse 17. God is giving Moses, he said, I am going to destroy these people. Now, if you want to understand that, you ask God when you see. He said, I'm going to destroy these people. And then Moses responded, verse 17, I beseech thee, let the power of the Lord be great according as you have spoken. He's telling God, you ought to keep your word. You ought to, and he gives the word that was spoken, the Lord's long-suffering of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, by no means clearing the guilty. And he said, verse 19, pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according to the greatness of your mercy. Do you know where he quoted that? But Moses is quoting what God had said. You remember God, Moses came out of the mountain with the Ten Commandments. The people were having a sexually explicit party, and Moses dropped the commandments and broke them. And then the second time he went to the top of the mountain to get the commandments. And when God gave the commandments the second time, this is a quote from God. Moses is quoting Almighty God. He's quoting what God said, and it's in chapter 32 of Exodus, if you want to read it sometime. 34 of Exodus. He said, God, you said you were long-suffering and merciful. He's reminding God. See, he wouldn't even turn loose of God's report of his own self. You know, if God said, well, I'm just going to destroy these people, we'd been inclined to say, well, okay. And Moses said, wait a minute, you said you were long-suffering and merciful. He's quoting God himself. When God gave the commandments the second time, he said, I'm doing this because I'm long-suffering and merciful. And then Moses, being clever, he said to God, you know, the people in all the world are going to know that these people didn't make the promised land, and they're going to say their God can't do anything. He's not able. And he said to God, you're going to look really bad. I don't think God is quite as delicate as we've made him. I think he can hang in there. Well, go back to Hebrews. I love those. I love numbers. Hebrews 4. Hello. In the verse 1 we read, lest a promise being left us of any rest, any of you should seem to come short. The only way you can come short is turn loose. Quit saying it. Quit believing it. You know, if somebody is going to put me on the wrong path, the path of unbelief, I'm going to be very nice because I'm a very nice person. I'm going to say, how's your dog doing? Didn't you have that cute dog? I did that. I've done that many times. And only one person has said, are you changing the subject? I said, yes, ma'am, I am. They're not going to fight with you for standing up for what you believe. They are not going to fight with you. If they see you're going to stand your ground, they're going to go home, which would be to your advantage if they did. You got that? Now, he said, you can come short. And then he said in verse 6, it remains that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached, we just read that, they to whom it was first preached, enter not in because of unbelief. They simply didn't believe in what God had said. Do you know by Jesus' stripes you were healed? Do you believe that? Can you hold fast to that? How long are you going to hold fast to that? Until. What was Pastor's sermon he preached? Years ago? About holding fast? Said, you don't understand how much pain you were in. I can map pain out in Technicolor. I have been there. And I have to have Wayne to help me hold fast. I'm packed in ice for months. And I came and taught my lesson. I made it to the end of the lesson. And I went right out the car and took the pain pills they had given me. And I couldn't take them earlier because then you won't be teaching anything. You'll be sleeping on the platform, you know, on the podium. And I went right back to my ice. Quitters never win. You won't win quitting. You won't win if you quit. Well, okay. And then it says, verse 14, seeing that we have a great high priest that's passing the heavens, Jesus, let us what? Hold fast. Now, nobody held as fast as David did in 1 Samuel 17. He held fast. It says the people were afraid. They were running when the giant who was over 9 foot tall began to approach the people. The Israel retreated. We have a mountain here and a mountain here, and this is how they fought war. One side on this mountain, one side on this mountain, and they run towards the center, and the one that stands, you know, that lives, it doesn't get, I start to say shot to death, doesn't get stabbed. That's the one that won. It's a great fight. I've seen the mountains in the battlefield. It's just amazing. I thought, mountain, nothing in the valley, no tree, no rock, mountain. It's a good way to lose a war. That's the way they fought. But when David came to feed his brothers sent by his father, he said, He heard the giant holler. The giant hollered 40 days, twice a day. He said, send somebody over here. If he wins, we will serve you. That was a lie. The devil lies. He lies to you. That was strictly a lie. Everything you read in the scriptures, when somebody thought they were losing, they ran for the hills. They didn't say, oh, well, we surrender. You won't find but one case of that where they decided surrender was good. And those people, David said, now, here's the first words out of David's mouth when he heard the giant holler. Now, what's the reward if I do this? What's the reward? I said, well, you'd be tax-free, and you get to marry the king's daughter. Now, he obviously thought about that, because a few verses later, he said, now, what'd you say the reward? He didn't say, how big is the giant? He didn't say, how many army does he have? He didn't say, who's going to back me up? He said, if I do this for you, what's the reward? That's, you can't hold any faster than that. Did you know David was a redhead? You didn't know that, did you? I know that because some expert told me that. It's not in the scripture. It's just some guy that was sure that he was a redhead. And so you can take that or leave it. Now, David, they take to the king. And the king finally, he says, David is a youth, so he's just a kid. And the king finally concedes and puts David in his armor. The David said, I can't use that armor. I haven't tried them out. I've never done this with armor. And he just takes his sling. Now, that if you read about and see the pictures of how they were clothed, the enemy army was clothed, if he hadn't hit the forehead with the stone, that's the only place it was visible. He had on 125-pound, they called it a coat. It's layers and layers of brass and metal. He had a soldier in front of him, soldiers with a shield. He had a shield up his back. He had a spear. The head of the spear weighed 5 pounds. And the coat he was wearing weighed 125 pounds. He was covered. If David hadn't hit that man in the forehead, that's the only place it was visible. Do you see that God knows exactly where you need help? It's visible to God. Your need is visible to God. Your pain is visible to God. In the most minute detail. Now, here's what David said. This is our confession we're holding fast to. Verse 45, David said, you come to me with a sword and a spear and with a shield. I come by to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you've defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give your carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field, and that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. He said, today, this day, today, in the name of the Lord of hosts, you die. That's what I say. Today, in the name of the Lord of hosts, disease, you die. Today, in the name of the Lord of hosts, you die. And I love Nahum 1:7. This affliction shall not arise a second time. I said, we ain't doing this again. We're not doing this again. Hold fast. Now, in 2 minutes, without confession, your faith is inoperative. It will not operate without words. If you're not saying anything, your faith is stalemated. It is not working. It says you have to believe in your heart and say with your mouth. We have that in Mark 11:23. Whosoever shall say to the mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe in those things he saith, he shall have whatsoever he saith. It doesn't say you'll have what you're believing. It says you'll have what you say. That means you'll have what you're believing that you are also saying. And I'm constantly saying this affliction shall not arise the second time. God has made an utter end. It says you'll have whatever you're saying. Hold fast to your profession. Hold fast to saying what God said. You find out what God said, the instructions, what God has given, and you continue to say that. That's what it said. And we have that in Romans 10, and part of the problem with the church's altar calls is they don't make the people say anything. And we do a confession here. If you've been here, you know that. But some places that's not the case. Every victory is first of all said. You don't say it, you don't get it. Hold fast your confession. If you believe in your heart and say with your mouth, if you speak to the mountain, and it doesn't say if you believe what you believe it's going to come down. It says if you believe what you said. It says if you believe what you said. If you believe what you said. Well, you know, we're good at saying football teams. Yeah. Daddy was a baseball fan. One of his brothers played minor league. Cake recipes. One lady like drove me crazy with a cake recipe. And finally I said, just write that down. Give me a copy of that. I think I still got it in my file. I never have used it, but just trying to be nice. On the sensual carnal level, we're very good at saying. But on the sensual carnal level, those words won't help you. They're not going to help you. What's going to help you is God. You said, that's all that Moses did to the people of Israel. He said, when God said, I'm going to destroy them. God said, no. You said you were merciful and long-suffering. And God said, okay, you got me. Say, I will hold fast. I will hold fast. I will not surrender my mouth to ugly words. You know what's an ugly word? Anything that contradicts the word of God. I will hold fast. I will not surrender. I will speak God's word over and over and over again. I will put it on my refrigerator. Now, I told you that a couple weeks ago, and only one lady put hers on the refrigerator. I'm giving you a second chance to line your favorite verse and put it on your refrigerator. And if you can't know where you get magnets, you call me and you text the office and we'll get you a magnet. Everybody got that? This is a test. Hold fast. You try to take a toy from a little kid. They can hold fast. They're not giving that up. You're not having that. You're not putting that up. You got to trick them. God has spoken. Oh, we thank you, Father, as your children, our sins are remitted, forgiven, blotted out. Our diseases are totally healed, and we have peace beyond understanding. We won't turn loose of that. That's all right. We're walking in the light. We're walking in the light of the Word. Your Word gives light, and we're walking in that light. And we thank you that when we hold fast, that our confession brings the power of heaven into our body to correct and amend and change what's necessary, so that we live long upon the earth without sickness and without disease. That's our right. That's our claim. That's the voice of our word. We, as your children, have inherited the blood of the Lamb that heals diseases, and we won't turn loose. In Jesus' name, amen.